Hey, welcome to Politico Tech. Today is Wednesday, November 8th. I'm your host, Stephen Overly. Meta whistleblower Arturo Bejar delivered his testimony in the Senate yesterday, putting renewed focus on what are now well-documented concerns about how content is policed on Facebook and Instagram. As expected, lawmakers latched onto the testimony, using it as a chance to push their own bills aimed at big tech companies. That includes Senators Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut and Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee, who see this new whistleblower essentially as a chance to put fresh momentum behind legislation called the Kids Online Safety Act. But frankly, there have been moments in the past that Congress has not seized, and their bill appears to be stuck in the Senate. There's no companion legislation in the House, and Congress has a lengthy agenda in front of it, including a pending government shutdown, AI regulation, and a defense bill that needs to be passed by the end of the year. Oh yeah, and we're now just weeks away from it officially being an election year. For today's show, I caught up with Blumenthal and Blackburn shortly after they left that whistleblower testimony yesterday. Here's that conversation. You know, you've just both heard testimony from a former Meta executive, Arturo Bejar, about the harms to kids from content on Meta's platforms. He's the latest whistleblower to come forward and express these concerns, but certainly not the first. For Senator Blumenthal, what is actually different this time around?
What's really different this time around is first the whistleblower himself, a safety expert engineer, hired specifically by Facebook to make its product safer. And in fact, he produced recommendations. He blew the whistle. He sounded the alarm. And Facebook essentially patted him on the head and told him to get lost. They rejected the recommendations. They concealed the information about harms done by Facebook. Concealed it not only from the public, but from Congress, and they, in fact, roll back some of the protections. So that kind of neglect and really ignorance, malign ignorance, has enabled the harms to go forward, and they are just astonishing in magnitude and scope and scale when you think more than one half of all users just within the past week have experienced some harmful or bad content. So there are real life practical implications. We're hearing about them from the moms and the dads and the kids. But what really was so striking about this whistleblower is how graphically he tried to bring these harms to the attention of Mark Zuckerberg, Sheryl Sandberg, and just shows the big tech companies are going to be spending gobs of money on lawyers and lobbyists, armies of them. But I think the truth of this whistleblower will really speak volumes to my colleagues in the Senate.
And you know, you both obviously heard the testimony today. I understand you both also met with the whistleblower prior to the hearing. Senator Blackburn, what did you learn in that meeting that surprised you or maybe changed at all your views on how social media companies are handling this type of content?
What we have learned from this whistleblower, Arturo Bejar, is that he actually was designing for safety and security of kids. He was with Facebook for years. That is what he did. And he had put a platform in place where you could have the safety by design, the duty of care, a more interactive experience, controls that parents and kids are now wanting. And then after he left, and then when he went back as a consultant, he realized they had chosen to relax those standards. And that is when you started to see such an explosion in this content that is harmful to kids. And he became aware of this through the experiences of his own child, who would report things that were unwanted sexual advances, and the platform would do nothing. And that is what we have found across the board from these social media companies is parents and kids will report things and no action is taken. The other thing that really impressed me was the specificity that he put in his communications to Mark Zuckerberg and Sheryl Sandberg and Chris Cox and Adam Mosseri, and the way he talked with them about the need to protect kids and how given he was to that and how he would raise concerns over youth safety and concerns over youth harms. And people that were around that leadership team would say, don't bring that up to them. It appeared to be a known fact that you did not challenge the way they were approaching this and the lack of attention that they were giving the concerns.
Well, certainly he mentioned how the lack of response he got from Meta executives about, you know, when he did raise these concerns to them. You all have heard in the past on the Hill from folks like Mark Zuckerberg or Instagram CEO Adam Mosseri. I mean, after the hearing with this whistleblower, do either of you feel the need to call Meta executives back to the Hill to answer questions on this?
I think what we need to do is pass the Kids Online Safety Act. Frankly, I'm not all that interested in hearing more happy talk from the Meta executives, really. Mark Zuckerberg has totally lost credibility, in my view, as have most of the social media executives, simply because, as the whistleblower said, actions speak louder than words. And they have chosen to, in effect, distract, deny, and deceive. That's their strategy. And just giving them another opportunity to deny and distract and deceive seems to me a waste of our effort. If they ask to come back, of course, we give them a forum. But really what's necessary is to pass the Kids Online Safety Act, which will fulfill all of the specific needs that the whistleblower said should be met. Number one, accountability, so that they are held responsible for harm they cause. Number two, transparency, making these black boxes more open and visible. And number three, protecting against harm by giving kids and parents tools so they can disconnect from those algorithms. The evidence is overwhelming here that Congress should act. And I hope by the end of the year or early in the next year, we will see action. I think the bipartisan support for the Kids Online Safety Bill, you know, almost half the Senate is now co-sponsoring it. I give a lot of credit to Senator Blackburn for enlisting her Republican colleagues. I've worked hard on my side, and I think this idea is one whose time has come. The trail of deceit on the part of big tech executives, they may have a lot of money, but they don't have credibility.
I agree with that. As Senator Blumenthal has said, it's time to send the message to big tech companies and pass the Kids Online Safety Act. One of the things we discussed today with the whistleblower was that what you got from Adam Mosseri, for instance, when he came before us, I read back some of his testimony to Mr. Behar, and what you could see is how intricately they would thread that needle. They would tell you the truth, but not the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And so he would say, yes, we have built these standards. And yes, they had, but they had chosen not to keep them and not to enforce them and not to leave them in place. They had relaxed that because our kids are the product when they're online. And they're making money. The longer they keep those eyeballs, they're making more money off of that data because the data is richer. And this is why they were changing those algorithms and relaxing those standards. And we see the harm it has done to children.
Well, you know, we heard over and over again during the hearing that lawmakers sort of put blame for the lack of action on on child safety, on tech industry having this great lobbying power, yeah. You know, the money that they do throw around here in Washington. candidly, though, you know, the Senate could rise above that influence. You know, it could take action kind of in spite of big tech money. You know, why hasn't that happened yet, Senator Blumenthal?
And I think it will happen. Mm-hmm. You know, to say that it hasn't happened so far doesn't mean it won't happen. And frankly, the attention to the armies of lawyers and lobbyists is a way of calling out the senators who do succumb to that influence. And I believe the leadership on both sides of the aisle is committed to addressing the challenges of kids' online safety. As you know, no secret, we have a lot to do. There's been some turmoil on the House side, and we have a budget, appropriations, Ukraine, Israel. I hope we'll have a package that combines aid for them, along with other measures like border security in Taiwan. But we need to do kids' online safety. It is a priority. And, you know, stepping back, this expert is an engineer. He was very careful to say he's not a lawyer. He does product design. In a sense, what we have here is a garden variety consumer protection defective product. I've done consumer protection for several decades as Attorney General and now as U.S. Senator. And what has to happen here is a better product. And I think the absence of real leadership in the tech industry is so really problematic and disgraceful. I'm hoping they'll still come forward, enable us to have their support for this common sense measure, and that we will move forward later this year, early next year. It is by no means out of the question that we move forward within months.
We'll be right back. I thought it was interesting in the hearing on Tuesday, you know, Senator Lindsey Graham said he was going to give back money he had gotten from Meta executives, and he called on members of Congress to sort of boycott the company's money, again, under this idea that the company's influence is part of what has prevented regulation from coming into play. I guess I wonder if either of you think that will actually make a difference here in terms of getting legislation across the finish line.
You know, I thought it was so interesting today. Senator Peter Welch, who is now in the Senate, was in the House with me. And he talked about the early efforts that he and I led in the House. We had the tech working group at Energy and Commerce Committee. We brought the first privacy bill forward in 2012. And big tech and their lobbyists have been fighting us since 2012 in getting protection standards and privacy and those things addressed, because they like having access to your data. They like owning the virtual you. And the more they do that, then the more money they're going to make on advertising. They need those eyeballs. And quite honestly, I think the thing that is really helping with getting Kids Online Safety Act passed is that what we're seeing is across this country, kids and parents who are stepping up and telling the story of what has happened to their child, talking about how their child lost their life, or their child came into contact with a drug dealer or a pedophile and then had harm, injury, or loss of life. Kids who have stepped forward to talk about what has happened to them or their friends and to say, help us with this. This is an addictive product because of these algorithms. So that is going to outweigh what is coming out of Silicon Valley and all of these lobbyists that have been fighting us for over a decade, trying to make the virtual space a safer space. And certainly they have fought Senator Blumenthal and I on this Kids Online Safety Act. But as parents are reaching out to their senators, to their House members, as they are telling their story, you know, it's so interesting. when we did the first hearing, and this was at Commerce Committee, when we were leading the Consumer Protection Data Security Subcommittee, when we did that first hearing and talked about safety for kids online, Senator Blumenthal and I, it is like we heard from people, not just in Tennessee or Connecticut. We heard from parents across the country who would call our office and talk to our staffs and talk to us and say, I've got to tell you my story. And I want you to hear what happened to my child. And I have talked to parents in Tennessee, a kid that was cyberbullied and ended up at Children's Hospital. One woman whose great niece was, she met what she thought was a cute boy online, and it turned out to be a man in his 40s. He was a sex trafficker, and he threatened her. And she sent pictures to him that were inappropriate. And then he said, I know where you live. I know who your parents are. And I will show them all of this. And if you try to stop me, I can kill you. She tried to commit suicide. Now, these are families. We've heard from so many families. They'll talk about how they were involved with their children, but they got into this relationship online, or they were getting information online, and their life changed. And so there is something that can be done about this, holding big tech responsible, having them designed for safety, having them designed with the duty of care. It is time for this to happen. These parents are waiting for this to happen, and they're getting tired of waiting for Congress to take an action.
I mean, those examples are certainly horrific, and the experience of some of these kids is no doubt horrific. I guess, you know, the question I do come back to, as you said, you know, the big tech has been fighting some of these privacy regulations and safety regulations in some cases for a decade. And so why are these stories now enough to overcome that?
You know, in every movement for reform, there's a tipping point. Big tech is now big tobacco. I sued big tobacco back in the 1990s. Everybody thought they were invincible. They vowed never to settle a lawsuit, never even to talk about settlement. And lo and behold, the time came when we could show by their own documents and their own whistleblowers that they were lying and deceiving and denying, that their products were addictive and caused harm. History doesn't repeat, but it often rhymes. And here what we're seeing is, again, an addictive product causing grave harm pitched at kids, and a industry that refuses to acknowledge its responsibility. I think we've reached a tipping point, just as we did then with whistleblowers and documents, which we put in the record today, showing how Mark Zuckerberg knew, Sheryl Sandberg knew, Adam Mosseri knew, Chris Cox knew, the whole social media ecosystem knows. And I think that their time has come to acknowledge their responsibility, and we need to make the product safer. Tobacco can't be made necessarily safer, although obviously there are products that make that claim. But here we can product design, as Senator Blackburn has said so well, to assure that safety is built into the product, just as we do with automobiles. You know, automobile safety has come literally to a new era with different materials, airbags, seat belts, all the stuff that consumers now want. Consumers should want more safety in this product, and we should give it to them.
I want to just ask, one of the criticisms of COSA that was raised today in the hearing is this concern about its impact on LGBTQ youth, you know, particularly concerns that it might be used to take supportive content of, you know, for LGBTQ youth offline. What's your response to those concerns, you know, from from parents of LGBTQ youth who worry that resources for their kids are going to be negatively affected by this.
And this is, there is nothing in COSA that is censorship.
There's nothing that's censorship. It is about, in effect, giving kids communities where they can go by choice. No blocking of access to those communities. And I might just mention the point that was made today, I think, about discrimination based on gender, religion, race, and sexual orientation was that one third of young teens have seen discrimination or harassment. A quarter report receiving sexual advances on Instagram. A quarter of them also report having been bullied and threatened. Nearly a quarter of young teens report experiencing feeling worse about themselves based on body comparison or social relationship. This kind of impact on young people is really degrading their self-worth, whatever their race, gender, religion, or sexual orientation. That's the harm we want to prevent. And I think that the questions today elicited that point very well.
And so you don't see COSA the way it's written as potentially leading to that kind of content being taken down?
None whatsoever. In fact, we have clarified the statute so that it really should be completely obvious that it's neither the intent nor effect to block content, to do censorship. It enables people to choose what they want to see or hear rather than the algorithms driving content at them. It gives them tools to protect themselves, but they make choices about what they want to see or hear.
Well, let me just ask you both then this last question, which is you've come together to co-sponsor this legislation. You know, bipartisanship is not easy necessarily in Washington these days. I'd be curious, you know, as people who come from different politics, often different policy issues, what did you sort of set aside to actually come together and agree on this?
We have got to make certain that kids are going to be protected in the virtual space. And coming together and saying, here is the problem set, and this one really needs a solution. And doing it so that you've got kids and parents that have a toolbox, and you've got big tech that is going to be held responsible. We've buckled down, and for the last 3 or 4 years, we've made this a priority, and it's time to pass it, get it through the House into the president's desk.
I don't think I could say it better, Steve, except I would just add, we don't have to agree on everything to agree on some things. And this partnership has been enormously effective because it has to be bipartisan to get it done. And I'm very results oriented when it comes to kids' safety, as is Senator Blackburn. It's been a priority for both of us as parents and as members of our communities. So I think that's what the American people want, us working together and trying to get bipartisan approval.
All right, excellent. Well, thank you both for joining us on Politico Tech. I appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks.
Thank you.
That's all for today's Politico Tech. For more tech news, subscribe to our newsletters, Digital Future Daily and Morning Tech. Music in today's show comes from the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Our senior producer is Annie Reese. Our editors are Steve Heuser, Daniela Cheslow, and Louisa Savage. I'm Stephen Overley. I'll see you back here tomorrow.